there. You're thinking there's 28 days behind the fence, you know. but it did well for me. Yes. Oh, okay. So we get through. We get through down in Portsmouth, Virginia. Now I'm moving to North Dakota, and so I moved to North Dakota and worked at a Detroit diesel diesel engine place. And so that's pretty tough work, man. When you're doing diesel work all day long, it's a grunt job, man. It's heavy stuff. You're slimy all the time. So finally, these guys bring all these orange trucks in there all the time. It's like, who are you guys? You looking for anybody? Oh, yeah, we're always looking. So I got out of the fixing them up, and now I get to driving and blow them up. I like blowing them up a lot better than fixing them up. So so I went down there and jumped on with those folks. And as I said, I went to the Assembly of God there, and it was a wonderful church, man. I mean, they had great programs, so on and so forth. And I found that church by one time my ex says, why don't you go back to church like you used to? And so I'm thinking, I don't know any churches around here. Come from out of town. So it's like, God, you got to show me. I did the old finger trick right down the thing, you know? Yeah, right there. Okay, go on to the Assembly of God today. Hallelujah. So one of the cool things about going to the Assembly of God the other day, I pulled up and I'm probably 5 minutes late. Nobody's around, that music's just blasting, and it's like, yeah, I don't know. All of a sudden, out from behind this tree as big as my boss steps out. I didn't even know he was a believer. What are you doing here? I figured I'd go to church. So it's like, wow, this is really cool. So that worked out well. I got to go to church there, got to learn a lot of things. Worked pretty hard in the oil field there in North Dakota. You can get out 40, 50 below in the wintertime, and you've got to work in it. So you're out there for as long as they need you. And so that part was pretty tough, and I was getting a little tired of that. Every winter was getting harder and harder to work in. And I was there for 7 years, I believe. But in all that mess, I ended up getting a divorce at that point. My ex-wife ran off with another lady, and that was before it was cool to do that, you know? So she was like a trailblazer or something. But anyhow, she headed out with another one, but there was one day that I just got a laugh at. I was out working on my car. Her name is Janice, her girlfriend, my ex's girlfriend, and her husband, Rick. So I'm working on my car out there. My wife comes, and my ex comes flying out the door and says, hey, Rick's chasing Janice down the street with a gun. Are you going to help her? I said, what? Does Rick need bullets? And after that, that was kind of the end gate. That, like, fueled the fire. And then I started sleeping in my company pickup down at the shop. Because I did not feel safe at home. But I'll never forget that. Why does he need bullets? And my ex also, one time we had her committed to, this is another great story, we had her committed, and she even admitted she had a problem, but we had her committed, and then finally she goes, no, I'm good. And all the doctors say, yeah, everything's cool, we can let her out. And so the doctor and I were standing, and she gets out, ha ha, fooled y'all, she said, and she ran down the hallway. Doc goes, we're in trouble. I said, we're in trouble. I'm the guy that's got to go home. That's what it's like. I'm sleeping at the shop in my truck, man. But anyhow, yeah, that was some fun stuff out of that anyhow. But yeah, fooled y'all. So then the bottom fell out of the oil. It was up $90-some a barrel, and went down to like 20. So everything started just cratering in the oil business. And a company took over our company. Well, I've worked for Dowell, a division of Dow Chemical, and another company took over 49% and the right to manage. And they were a horrible company to work for. Dowell was really great. But Dowell Schlumberger, they brought in and had a big meeting with us. They said, yeah, if you go home and tell your wife you're not coming home, there's 100 people on here, we're firing 50 of them, and you're picking up the slack. And that's just the way they said it. And I said, man, get out. And so that from there on out, I was trying to get out of that job. They were firing all sorts of people, trimming all sorts of people down. And finally, we work 100 hours a week. And so you have a Department of Transportation log that you got to fill out. Well, we cheat them really bad. Like you'd be out for like 36, 40 hours and you come in and they say, you better go home and sleep quick because in 4 hours you're going on another job. Well, now the jobs have really ratcheted up, you know. There's 50% less people there. It's a whole lot more busy. So, but I'd still come in. I'm burned out, man. Been out 30 some hours. I'd go home and unplug my alarm for 8 hours, which, you know, wasn't cool because they were calling you in three. So I did that a couple of weeks, and finally they got tired of that. One day they called me. I thought, man, we're sold out, but they didn't call me all morning long. And then I finally went down there, and that's when they called me in. They said, we want to talk to you. They said, well, you could come. We could make you a supervisor again if you do what we do. And now Schlumberger, when we took over, they were cheating the customers on product, like 30%. 6% acid, you're supposed to be in the truck. Well, if they knew they were selling, somebody wouldn't come out and check it. That'd be a lot less in there, let me tell you. But he said, yeah, we can make you a supervisor again if you do things our ways. And I said, what, like lie, cheat, and steal? That did it. He flew up over the desk. Oh, his veins are sticking out. You're fired. I went, yes. Yeah, so I went out and everybody's looking at their shoes. I'm saying, hey, man, don't look at your shoes. I'm happy. I'm loading my pickup today. I'm going back to PA. And so that's when I moved back in, I think it was 86. Moved back, come strolling on in at Thanksgiving Day after 3 days of driving straight. But so now we're back in Pennsylvania again. And when I came home, I decided, well, Assembly of God Church is pretty good out there, so I think I'll just try it again here. So I started going to church to the Assembly of God down in Bloomsburg, and that's where I met my lovely wife, Susan. Because I told God, I said, listen, man, I ain't dating nobody else. That last one was horrible. If you don't pick me somebody, I ain't doing it. And so there's my wife of 37 years, worked out a whole lot better when God's in the middle of it. So God put Sue and I together. We've been married 37 years. See, that's now that I'm clued in, and you got to find, like I said, you don't want to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. You know, the yoke on the two oxen that plow the field, that's what that means. The yoke on them, they drive together. But if you hook up an ox and a goat, what are they going to do? They're going to pull all weird and wreck the thing. Well, that's what happens if you don't. So I was really happy when I married somebody that was filled with the Spirit, you know, born again, filled with the Spirit, and had a track record behind it. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure that you do that. But I had two children from my first marriage, and they came home. They actually lived with us for like 5 years, and then when I wanted to have custody of them, then I went through, I think, two or three different courts. About $12,000 were burned up, and they took the kids away from me for some sort of strange reason. You could read it through that stack of stuff. I didn't even bother reading it. You know, it was like technicality. Yeah. We know you're here to get your kids, but the sun wasn't shining right today, so you're out. We rule in favor of the other people. But one of the things, one of the stories I want to relate to that is, and we finally lost custody of them. My ex showed up like within 24 hours, her and her girlfriend. And it was like, they went down to the school. The kids' bikes are still chained up against the tree. She just took them and stopped by my house and, I don't know, cussed and fussed about something. I don't know what it was, but really angry person, man. She goes, get away from the kids. They can't talk to you and this and that. And she wouldn't let me. So I had to go upstairs and get her something. But I went upstairs. True story. 357 mag, I had it, and I'm spinning the cylinder on it. Because, you know, she's down there cursing. Yeah, you're no good. I thought, you know, I could dust you and your friend, like, real easy. But that was the only time when, I mean, it was so close to the audible voice of God, where he said, don't you do that. The kids will be ruined forever. I was like, okay. The boss said that. But yeah, if you don't have the boss, what do? You know, if you don't have the Spirit of God inside you to guide you and direct you and stupid things like that. You know what I'm saying? So if you're running your life freewheeling, you don't have anybody. I got a thought, I ought to shoot that dirty son of a gun that did me wrong. Well, who's going to stop you? So that's another plus for the kingdom of God. Keep you from doing stupid things. You know, God has a scripture for that, Romans 12, 19 through 21, where it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So God still takes care of you. They might look like they're walking away free, but God takes care of you. You forget about that, man. Let God deal with all that mess. Why do I want to get all drug up in that again? And once the kids left that dip, Mike and Chris, yeah, they were great kids and stuff. Once I left, though, we never saw them again. And they used to call like every year when they were really drunk and like curse me out. But then they even quit doing that. So I'm not sure whatever happened to them. But that's how that stuff gets messed up. It turned from a divorce, you know, and then the kids, one thing I was going to say, the kids always get caught in a divorce no matter what. I mean, they don't have any problems. They love mom and they love dad, but a divorce can just mess things up. So if you get things straight in the beginning, you won't have to go through all that mess. Believe me, you don't want to. But no matter what shape the world's in or does, we have God and His Word to guide and direct us. And if you're not going in there and looking at that, like, let's go to Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Do that real quick here. Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Be careful for nothing. Or some of the books say, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's a pretty big deal there. Or it says, be anxious for nothing. That's what God wants you. You know, lately when I've been dealing with anxiety, kind of everything bothers you, you know. But be anxious for nothing. But in everything, he wants you, instead of being anxious, when you get anxious, first thing you want to do is pray about it. Put prayer right on the burner and get that anxiety out of there. And then you want to thank him for what's going to happen. That's what the next part of it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now he knows that you got things, but you just ask him. And the peace of God, that's a big deal there, having a peace of God in your life. If you've been anxious or crazy or whatever, peace is a nice thing. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that means it's up and above whatever we could think. It's deeper, it's longer, it's wider, it's better. So keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then here in verse 8, I really like this. And every translation has a little bit different spin to it. But I'm in King James here. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, what he wants you to do is like, you can't think of two different things at one time. And if you're thinking about bad things all the time, you are not going to receive the good things. You've canceled it. What you're speaking with your mouth and what you're believing for, you can't do one and the other. I want to go down there, but I go out this door. I don't know. That doesn't do anything for you. But you want to get hooked up with God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then when you think on whatever is true and honest and just, that puts a whole new light. It paints your brain a whole new light. You see the upside of things instead of going through life like Eeyore. Oh my, nothing ever works for me. Nothing ever works. So if you think on good things, you're already halfway there. So when the tough times come, you won't be stuck. Oh, and another thing, one more thing I want to say here is when I worked for that oil field company, I had a great boss. And he comes up to me one time, he goes, man, you got a lot of talent. I said, oh, yes, all right. He goes, yeah, we got a school going on down in Denver in 16 weeks, and I can get you in it. It's really. He goes, you're still laughing. You don't believe it. No, he said, I'll make sure you know the algebra before you go. And so they sent me to Denver for 16 weeks, but it's nice when somebody believes in you, you know? Somebody comes, because there's not too many people these days that ever come up, put an arm around somebody and say, man, you did a great job. All I want to do is tell you you did a horrible job and you're a bad person. So I went out there 16 weeks and that's where I was before the bottom fell out of the oil prices. And then I moved back home. But I tell you, there's been so many things that happened in my life. Man, I couldn't have got through it all without Jesus. And I see that as the greatest thing I have these days is the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. You know, you don't have to be a big blowhard about it or act, you know, but just make sure the word gets out. Times are coming. Things are wrapping up. Nobody wants to see your loved ones not make it to heaven or whatever, or people you know. Yeah, when you look through to, you know, like just looking in an auditorium, average auditorium, and you'd see things of believers that are gone. You'd see a whole ton of people sitting there, and they're not gone to heaven. They're gone to hell. You know what I'm saying? But if you look and you see, well, the believers are gone, there's still a bunch. We want to make sure and get all those folks. Make sure they know about Jesus and you used to have the opportunity to say yay or nay. But God has been so good to me. I can't thank him enough for everything he's done for me. And you're always going to have problems. If you think you're going to come to know Jesus, you good. Never have any problems again. You've been fooled, dude. Take those glasses off. Because you'll still have problems, but you'll have the problem solver with you all the time. So I just want to wrap up here. But no, you know, I mean, we lost the kids when it came to that, and a couple of big battles there. I got questions to ask God. I'm not sure why that happened, but God still looks out for me. Father God, we're just thankful and grateful for all that you do for us. Man, fire us up. Get us stirred up inside that we can go out and let others know about Jesus. It's not about being above somebody else or whatever, but it's inviting them into the kingdom of God. Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful day we had today. Let this message just soak into people and let them know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.